This illness, Jesus says, is not to end in death, but is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. I've been asked by some people, well, why did Jesus deprive Lazarus of heaven? Lazarus was dead, so he would have been in heaven with God, right? Actually, no. Jesus did not deprive Lazarus of heaven. Lazarus actually was in Sheol, the world of the dead, understood by the Jews to be the place where the souls of the good deceased would go, awaiting the coming of the Messiah. We all know this from the story of another Lazarus, the poor man, and of course the rich man, Dives, who are in two separate places in hell. The rich man is in Gehenna, the hell of the damned, while the poor man Lazarus is in Sheol, awaiting the coming of the Messiah. They can communicate to one another, but they can't cross from one side to the other. And this is where our Lazarus of our gospel passage is, awaiting the coming of the Messiah. Lazarus in Sheol was deprived of the vision of God. There was no beatific vision there. He couldn't see the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He couldn't join the angels and saints in the praise of God. He was simply in a dark place waiting. So, of course, it would be better for him to come back to life and to see the presence of the Messiah, Jesus, face to face. So another question is asked, are people raised from the dead today? I don't know if people are raised physically from the dead, but I can assure you of this, that people are raised from the dead constantly. That is, when they're raised from the death of mortal sin. And that's what the raising of Lazarus teaches us about Christ, who is the life and resurrection. It's a parallel, if you would, of the human life that is not meant to end in death, but is meant to have eternal life. But our mortal lives, as we know, are going to end. Our bodies will die, which is the result of original sin. Our souls, on the other hand, are meant to live. They don't have to die, but sometimes they do. And how does the soul die? Whenever we kill our souls in an act of mortal sin. Mortal, of course, being deadly. So what exactly is mortal sin? A mortal sin is any sin that is serious. A serious sin that deprives us. That is, it cuts us off from sanctifying grace. It is, in a word, death. Death to the soul. So this sin must first of all be serious in nature. It must have full knowledge and full reflection and be freely committed with the full consent of one's will. It's a willful, knowing, and free defiance of God's will. A serious sin in nature that shows willful, knowing, and free defiance of God. In the second letter of St. John, the Apostle tells us about mortal sin. He speaks of mortal sin, as he says, deadly sin. In 1 John 4, verse 17, he says that all wrongdoing is sin, but not all sin is mortal. We know this, of course, in Catholic theology as a venial sin, mortal being deadly, venial being bad, but won't condemn us to hell. I'll give an example. A knowing, free, and willful breaking of the Ten Commandments would be a mortal sin. A knowing, free, and willful breaking of the precepts of the Church would be mortal sin. A knowing, free, and willful breaking of any of the sin or committing of the sins that cry to heaven for vengeance, these things would be mortal sins. Idolatry, blasphemy, failure to worship God on his own day, disobedience to one's parents or disobedience to lawful authority, adultery, fornication, sodomy, lying, cheating others of what is due to them, deep-seated envy, hatred, jealousy, failure to profess the faith, to be proud to be a Christian, and not so much in a bad way, but to at least acknowledge your Christian faith and being ashamed of it, supporting the church, or the failure to support the church, failure to observe the church's teachings on marriage and family, the church's teachings on human sexuality, the church's teachings on charity or penance. All of these things, when done knowingly, freely, and willfully, bring death to the soul. It kills the soul, and like Lazarus, we become dead, bound, with a stench about us, our faces wrapped in shame. Like Lazarus, we die in mortal sin, and Jesus weeps. Yes, the Lord weeps because we have deprived ourselves of his grace, and he wants nothing else but to have us live in the fullness of that grace. This is why St. Paul tells us in his letter to the Romans, "Brothers and sisters, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not only in the flesh. On the contrary, you are in the Spirit, if only the Spirit of God dwells in you. And those of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, those of us who have been filled with the Holy Spirit at confirmation, have that Spirit of God dwelling in us. We're not just fleshly people. We can't just do whatever our desires tell us to do. We do what God wants us to do. Whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ, St. Paul says, does not belong to him. But if the Spirit of Christ is in you, if Christ himself is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. If the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then the one who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit dwelling in you." With this knowledge, we can cry out to the Lord with the Psalm 130. "Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord, Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my voice in supplication. If you mark our sins, if you mark our iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you is forgiveness. With you is forgiveness that you may be revered." And because of this knowledge we have of God's love and forgiveness, we can trust in him, trust in his word, and of course, wait for him to give us the fullness of redemption. That's the promise of God. That's the promise of God, as he says from Ezekiel, "O my people, I will open your graves and have you rise from them. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and have you rise from them, O my people, I will put my Spirit in you that you may live, and I will settle you upon your land. Thus you shall know that I am the Lord. I have promised and I will do it." What is this land that God wants to give us? It's not simply the land of Israel as it was in the Old Testament. It's the land of eternity. It's the land of heaven. It's the land where we see God face to face and with the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit live now and forever. What happens to you and me now in the Spirit is an indication of what's going to come. Yes, our mortal bodies will die. And after death, we're going to be judged, as St. Paul says. We'll be judged according to our faith, according to our works, and according to our love. If we live a life that is free from sin, if we live a life with Christ here, we live a life of glory forever. If we die in sin, however, in willful sin, then obviously we bring eternal punishment upon ourselves. The choice is ours. Christ is calling you and me, by his grace, to rise from sin, to live in him today, to die in Christ, to live in Christ, and not only to rise to glory in heaven, but to rise to a new life in both body and soul when the Lord Jesus comes again on the last day. We heard Jesus tell Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this?" Martha said yes, but he's asking you and me the very same question. Do you believe in the power of the forgiveness of sin? Do you believe in the conquering of death by life? Do you believe that sin can be replaced by grace and that you can live forever? May we respond with Martha, "Yes, Lord, I have come to believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God." Then rise and live.